First John chapter 1, and we have only 10 verses.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins,
Amen.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Now this chapter is very simple and easy. In this chapter, John is trying to tell us about the having fellowship with God and having fellowship with one another, in a nutshell. In the first verse, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hand have handled of the word of life. Here he is trying to say, who is the word of life? John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, if you read, please read. St. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Now what we're learning here, in the beginning was the Word. When you say in the beginning was the Word, and then we know what the Word is. Verse 14, it says, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
Then we know what the Word was. But it's just go for the a beginning. When you say beginning. In the beginning, there was God. And when you say God, God was in the spirit form. If you read John chapter 4 and verse 24, please read.
God is a spirit. That he worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Now Jesus Christ is saying, God is spirit. In the Old Testament, all the people, they knew God is supreme, God is spirit. They never saw God with their own eyes. And we studied John chapter 1 verse 18. It says, no man hath seen God any time. So with their eyes, they never saw God. So we want to see the God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are triune one God. But when you say one God, they are in a spirit form from the beginning. So you cannot see the spirit. But the Jesus Christ is said, in the Word, he is the Word of God. What does it mean? When you say he is from the beginning, was the Word. What is that Word? And we know that Word is Jesus. But in the Old Testament, Jesus was not revealed. God spoke to Moses. When Moses said, what is your name? Do you know what he says? I am that I am.
Amen.
Now when you say I am that I am, who was talking? God was talking through Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to Moses. But Moses did not know Jesus was speaking. Because Jesus said, whatever God speaks, he speaks through Jesus. Jesus is the word for God. Amen. If Jesus is not speaking, we would not know who God is. So Jesus, even the Old Testament, everywhere we heard God is speaking, now we know that God was Jesus. How? Because Word of God says, from the beginning, the Word was with God. And so when the Word is spoken, we hear Jesus Christ. So that Jesus was only revealed in the flesh 2,000 years ago. Before that, the Jesus was not revealed. The Word was not revealed in the flesh. In book of Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, please read. It says, Jesus has the name, and that name is called what? The Word of God. Please read.
He was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Who is that?
Jesus.
Yes. Now here there is no word who was dipped in the blood. We know who dipped in blood. That was Jesus. So the Jesus is called the Word of God. So now John is trying to say, we are talking about that Word, and that Word of God has life, as we read in St. John chapter 1 verse 4. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. That Word has life. And that's what he's saying. We are talking about the life of God. When you say God is love, nobody knew what God is and what God's love is. We saw God's love in what? In Jesus Christ. Jesus is the model of love. And then we say God is light. That's what we're learning now. And the God is light. Let's go and read 1 John chapter 1 verse 2.
For the light was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, for the life was manifested. That means that life was not revealed until Jesus Christ came. Nobody knew. People today also, they say, God is some kind of supreme power. And without Jesus, you will never know who that God is. Saint John is saying, we see this life was hidden in Father, but was revealed to us. And we are writing to you. Now if you see John's writing, as I told you, John wrote Saint John book. Go to the Saint John chapter 20 and what he is saying about his writing. Read the last verses.
But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
All writing in book, and then he said, these things we are writing, what? So you should have life in Jesus Christ. Go to the 21 chapter and last verses also. 24 and 25.
This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written for every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Okay, what St. John is trying to say? There are so many things we want to write. Even the God, Jesus Christ, what he did, miracles and signs and wonders, if you start writing about those things, he says the world will not contain the books. Now somebody says he might be lying. He's talking about the books were kept in the libraries, not everywhere. All the world's libraries will not contain the book what wrote about Jesus Christ. Why he's writing all of these things? So we should know about Lord Jesus and his plan of salvation. That is in nutshell his writing. And then he says, now we knew that the life was hidden in God. How do you know? We just read a few minutes ago. John chapter 4, verse 24. What it says? God is spirit. And so that spirit has a life. And that life we were not able to see for ourselves, that was revealed to us through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now he says, verse 2, for the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So in short, he's trying to say that life was not revealed to any mankind until Jesus Christ came. So he says, only we know. How they come to know? They stayed with Jesus and they studied from the Jesus and they learned from the word from Jesus Christ. And they found out Jesus is the eternal life. Because you remember what Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life.
Amen.
And that life they were able to see. Life was in the word of God. You remember there are so many disciples were following Jesus Christ. If you go to the Matthew chapter 10, they were 12 were chosen. If you go to the book of Luke chapter 10, there were 70 were chosen. And out of those, 12 were chosen. If you really need a life, then you have to eat my flesh. If you really need a life, then you have to drink my blood. Do you know it was so hard for people to understand? They said, who can hear these things? And people want to go away. What Jesus Christ said. Let's go to St. John chapter 6, maybe verse 63.
It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
What Jesus Christ is saying. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. What is he saying? The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what he wanted to say. In the beginning was the word. That word had the life from the beginning. And that word was revealed to us. And that word is speaking to us. And if you hear the word, means what? Hear Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are not talking about the ordinary word. We are talking, when you say word, we're talking about Jesus. Because we heard a few minutes ago, his name was what? The word of God. When Jesus speaks to you, he speaks life into your life. So when you listen to the word of God, life comes to us. Without Jesus, there is no life. You remember 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, that word of God is the seed of God. And when that seed is come to your life, you have eternal life. Please read that word.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
How do you get a life? By the incorruptible word, the seed of God. Once that you have, then you are going to live forever. So eternal life is in the word of God.
Amen.
And that word is Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there is no life. Many people get confused when they learn about Adam. When they're thinking when God created Adam, and that was the perfect man, and that if the Adam didn't commit sin, didn't eat the fruit, he will live forever, and that life will be the eternal life. That is not what the Bible teaches. If the Adam lived forever without eating, not eating the fruit, that life is compared to Jesus Christ will be nothing. I'll prove it to you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And start reading from verse 45. Please read.
And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Now check it. When God breathed into man, that man became a living soul. That is the first Adam. The second Adam was what? Quickening spirit. Now see the difference. The first Adam is a living soul, is alive. But the second Adam has a power to give you life. When God came into this world in the flesh, he was a God-man. It was not like Adam came back. Jesus came like a quickening spirit. That's why if any man lives without Jesus Christ and say, I'm living a holy life and I can do the things what Jesus did, it is impossible. Why? Because the man, even though that Adam lived forever without Jesus Christ, that man will be still like a living soul. But the Jesus Christ is the quickening spirit. Go further.
Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual.
See, the first man was a natural man, but the second man is a spiritual man. Each and every natural person, because when God breathed on the breath of life in man, the man had the blood flowing all over, heart start pumping, and man became like a living soul. And so he has a blood and he's working, talking, doing everything, but still that kind of person will not go to the heaven. Why? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus Christ came. Okay.
The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Okay. Now see, first man was created from earth. And so what? When you created from the material from the earth, that material is going to be decayed. Earthly man is going to be decayed. That man was not a spirit man. You understand? That man was made from the earth. And so when the man dies, the natural man dies, what we say, earth to earth, ashes to ashes. Goes back to earth, goes back to ashes. If that man is not renewed, if that man did not believe in Jesus, if that man is not spirit-filled, means born-again experience, that man will go to dust, never come back, only will come back one time for the judgment day. But the first man from the earth, second man is from what? Heaven, is heavenly.
Amen.
That's the difference. That's why Jesus Christ came from heaven above, to show mankind what the God is all about. St. John chapter 3, verse 13.
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Now see what he's trying to say? He's trying to say to Nicodemus, no one came from heaven, and no one can go to heaven, but he says, the Son of Man did it. And he says, that man was talking to you, Nicodemus, and that man is now in heaven. So what he's trying to say, I am the heaven man. I am the God man talking to you. So God has no limit. The Spirit has no limit. You understand?
Amen.
The Spirit can be everywhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, it says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, freedom. You cannot bind the Spirit. The Spirit has freedom. So what I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ was in the Spirit. He was talking to Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, you're talking to me, but I'm talking to you the earthly things. But let me tell you, if I try to tell you spiritual things, you will not understand. So what spiritual he was talking, he said, I'm standing with you, having a fleshly body, but you know who I am? I'm a son of God. And right now, I'm in the presence of God. And at the same time, I'm on earth. So that's the power of Jesus Christ. Adam was not able to do that. You understand? Adam, even though he was in this living beings, but he was not lifted up to heaven. God has to come down to talk to man. You understand the point? For Jesus, God doesn't have to come down to talk to Jesus. Jesus was with God at the same time.
Amen.
That's the difference between the old Adam and the new Adam. Okay, go ahead. Go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, go ahead, 48.
As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
Okay, this is the point. So I'm trying to say, if somebody tells you, and many people say, oh, Adam made a mistake. If the Adam didn't commit sin, we will be living forever. Living forever where? You're living on earth. You will never be able to go to heaven. That's the secret. Because it says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
If Adam would have lived for a million years, he would be living on earth, populating earth, will not be able to go to heaven. God would come down and talk to them, but they would not be able to go to heaven.
Amen.
That's why Jesus Christ came. Even the Adam committed sin, that's a different story. But still, they need to redeem it. They need to, maybe if they would have eaten the fruit of life, instead of eating the fruit good and evil, then they would have been spiritually transformed. But here we're seeing Jesus Christ called the Word of God. He has the power and the life in it. When Jesus Christ came, he says, what I'm speaking, I'm not speaking my own. What I'm speaking? I'm speaking what God is saying.
Amen.
So he is called the Word of God. And he proved when he was in the earth.
Amen.
You remember when the Lazarus was dead? How many days? 4 days. What did he do? Jesus Christ came and said, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
What happened? Lazarus heard the word.
Amen.
That word had the power and life. As Jesus said, or he spoke, that word went in the Lazarus body and quickened his body. You remember he says, he was a quickening spirit.
Amen.
When we spoke the word, that word gave life to dead men. St. John chapter 11 you read. But I want to point out another thing. Just go back to the book of Luke chapter 8 and start reading verse 54 and 55. That's the story about the Jairus' daughter. You will not read. This is in Matthew, Mark and Luke. This story is not in John. But Matthew, Mark you'll read. It is only recorded in Luke. Okay, go ahead. 54, 55.
And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat.
What is he saying? And her spirit came again. So what happened? The girl was dead. Her spirit was gone. But when Jesus Christ says, girl, rise, what happened? Her spirit came back in her.
Amen.
That's the power of the word of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. When he speaks the word, he speaks life into us. So the life was manifested through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why John is trying to say, Jesus Christ is the life giver. Okay, let's go back to the 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3.
That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Why he is saying this thing? He says that you also may have fellowship with us. And why he is saying our fellowship with Father and with his son. Now, the Old Testament people, he's talking to even the Jewish people. Jewish people will never understand what John was saying. He's saying, you know, we have the fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his son. It is blinded to them. They never knew there is a Father. The Jewish people do not believe in son, and the Muslim do not believe in son. But John is trying to say, we were having fellowship with Jesus Christ, his son. You remember what he said in chapter 14 when Philip said, show us the Father? What did he say? Philip, how long you are with me?
Yes.
How can you say, show the Father? If you have seen me, yes, you have seen the Father. Now John got the message. John is saying, you know, if the Philip is asking that question, I got my answer. What he's trying to say? I have seen the Father. Why? Because I have seen Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. He's saying, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's trying to say, when we got Jesus Christ, what we got? We got Father also. You remember what Jesus Christ was teaching them? Go back to St. John chapter 14. He was saying to them, if you believe me, what I'm preaching and what I'm teaching, then you believe in Father also. And what happens? When you receive me, I bring my Father with me. Okay, that is St. John chapter 14, verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
So if you love the Jesus Christ, and if you love the Father, and then if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring my Father with me, and then we'll have home in you. That is the experience of St. John. John is trying to say, we have the fellowship with Father and with his Son. So he is trying to say, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to have a fellowship with Father. Do you understand? If you do not have the Son, you cannot have the Father.
Amen.
When you have the Son, you have the Father automatically. You don't have to look for Father. That's why so many people get mixed up. We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each and everyone has separate job. But at the same time, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Father comes with you. And you will have the fellowship with Father. That's why some other people, if they pray, you listen to their prayer. Many people, spirit-filled people, they do not know how to even pray. I don't want to give the name of some television preachers, but you look at them when they pray. One pastor prays, the congregation is standing, and he prays, and when he says, he finishes prayer, and he says, God's people say, praise the Lord. And so, many people do not know how to even close the service, close the prayer. What he's saying, when you pray to Father in the name of Jesus. That's the unity. He says, if you want to ask anything, ask in my name. Yes. Asking to whom? To Father.
Amen.
So he says, if you ask in my name to the Father, he will give it to you, so your joy may be full. So we have to teach the people. You cannot just say, oh, Holy Spirit, give this to me. In Holy Spirit name I pray. That prayer will not go anywhere. Amen. It's the order God has given to us. When you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and that prayer will be answered.
Amen.
That's why John is saying, we have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son, and that we want you to have the same fellowship with us. What is he trying to say? We want unity. We want togetherness.
Amen.
In the church, there is a doctrine called the doctrine of Christ. So we have to follow the doctrine of Christ, teaching of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's trying to say. So he said, I have fellowship with the Father and the Son. And we should have fellowship together. Let's read the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, what St. Paul is saying. 1 Corinthians 4:16.
Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me.
Now when you say, St. Paul is saying, I beg you, you be a followers of me. Just like John is saying. John is saying, I have the fellowship with the Father and the Son, and I want you to have fellowship with me. And we want to fellowship with you. St. Paul saying the same thing. He says, I beg you, be follower of me. And somebody says, you know, I don't want to follow St. Paul. I want to follow Jesus. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, what St. Paul is saying.
Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Right. This is what Paul wants to say. But one time he said, be a follower of me. That means, don't worry about Jesus, just follow me. Doesn't work. He says, follow me as I follow Jesus.
Amen.
In a new, new translation, it says, imitate me. Following me, I imitate Jesus, so you imitate me. To do exactly what Jesus Christ is doing, I am doing. That's what he's saying. Imitation means do as I do. Imitate me. So he says, let Rachel please read that.
Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ.
Right. He says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. That means follow me as I follow Jesus. Not only following, I am doing exactly what Jesus Christ is doing.
Amen.
And you do exactly what I'm doing. John is saying, he is saying, we have the fellowship with Father, and I want that same fellowship with you.
Amen.
So we should be having fellowship with one another. If we have a fellowship with one another, and if we don't have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and if we don't have fellowship with Father, our fellowship is useless. Just like other people going to games and they keep Jesus out, that fellowship is useless. St. Paul says, as I imitate Jesus, you imitate me. Fellowship without Jesus is dead. There's no meaning. Okay, let's come 1 John chapter 1, verse 4.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Well, why am I writing this? So we'll have eternal life. We'll have fellowship with God. And once you have fellowship with God, what will you have? You will have fullness of joy. When you read about the salvation plan, and if anyone receives the salvation plan, that person will have joy, because the presence of God gives you fullness of joy.
Amen.
Let's go to the book of, I'll prove it to you from book of Acts. Book of Acts chapter 8. 8:39.
And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
Now when that man, who was that eunuch? He was the treasurer of the queen. He had a lot of money, a lot of fame, everything you can imagine this man had, the chariots and everything. What he didn't have? No joy. When he reading the books, he didn't understand even. Philip goes, talks to him about all the plan of salvation, even the water baptism. And when he says, what should I do now? He should say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And when you saw the water, he says, is that water enough to be baptized? Or what did he say? If you believe, that's fine. And when he was baptized, what happened? Now he's saying, I am rejoicing in the Lord. How the joy came? Receiving Jesus Christ and obeying the water baptism, joy will fill your soul. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, many people say, I have Jesus Christ, I don't need a water baptism. You're missing something. When you take baptism, what happens? You feel in your spirit that I'm fulfilling the plan of salvation. I'm fulfilling the will of God. I'm fulfilling the obedience of God. I'm fulfilling the commandment of God. And the joy fills your soul. Go back to the Acts chapter 16. Start from 31 if you want.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Okay, rejoice. Believing God with all his house. See, the Enoch was one person. Received Jesus Christ and he started rejoicing. Here is the whole family rejoicing. If the whole family believes what God says. Now somebody says, verse 31, he says, believe in the Lord and what? You will be saved in your household. It doesn't happen automatically. You cannot automatically believe Jesus Christ and your whole family got saved automatically. What did he do? He heard the gospel. They obeyed in the water baptism. And when they did, whole house was rejoicing. That's what the power of salvation is all about. Okay, go back now, chapter 8, and start reading for verse 8.
And there was great joy in that city.
And there was a great joy in that city. What city? In Samaria. Philip went there. That Samaria was full of witchcraft. And full of demonic works was going around. Philip goes, preaches the gospel. People heard the gospel. Were baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the word of God said, there was a joy in what? Great joy in that city. Not ordinary joy. Great joy comes with the salvation, water baptism, and filling with the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest joy you can ever have. So what I'm trying to say, tell people if you need a joy, what you need? You need Jesus. You need Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah.
And when Jesus Christ comes in your life, you will have joy. Let's go to the St. John, what Jesus is saying. John 15, verse 11.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Okay. What is trying to say? When I'm speaking something, what is speaking? He's speaking life into your life. And once you have eternal life, you are full of joy. That's what he's trying to say.
Amen.
Without Jesus, there is no life.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ is praying, just go to the chapter 17. John 17, verse 13. Please read.
And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
He is talking to God now. Jesus Christ is talking to God that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. What joy? The joy of salvation. The joy of God. He says, now I'm coming to you, but if I go, then these people will be depressed. Who? All the disciples. So he's saying, I'm going to give my joy to them. And Jesus Christ says, I am giving my joy to you. So without Jesus, there is no joy. Without Jesus, there is no life. That's what John is trying to say. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. And these things I write unto you, that your joy may be full. Read verse 5.
This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
If there is a darkness, there's a gloomy day. How many people like the day without sunshine? If you don't have sunshine, you won't have life. If there was no light at all, there were no plants will be alive. And no life, you will be having gloomy days. And some people get depressed. And now they have made artificial lights in some places, so they will have some energy. And that's why this electric light will call what? Energy. Power. The light, and light gives life. So they say Jesus Christ is the lighthouse. He has the power and energy. That power has no darkness at all. And that's why we learn in St. John, he says, when the light came into this world, the darkness had no power to destroy the light. God is the only one who has power to separate the light from the darkness.
Amen.
You remember when God says he separates the light from the darkness. So God can separate light from the darkness, but the darkness cannot separate the light from himself or overpower. And we learned last week, darkness is called the kingdom of darkness, the devil's kingdom. Everything what we do in the dark is from the devil. So that's what St. Paul is saying. This message, let's read one more time. Please read.
This then is the message where we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Okay, so he is trying to say, we have message of light. Start reading from verse 6 and 7.
We said that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son binds us up from all sin.
So what he's trying to say, if you say we are in the light, what does it mean? When you are in the light, you are in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are not in Jesus Christ, you are in darkness.
Yes.
That's what he's trying to say. If you say, I am in the light, then you are in Jesus Christ. But if you are in the darkness, and if you want to stay in the darkness, you cannot have the fellowship with the light. That's what he's trying to say. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse you. I want to see somebody living in sin. Living in sin, practicing sin, and believing that, oh, God is so good, he washes me with his blood. According to this word, you will not be cleansed. Read one more time.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Okay, so blood of Jesus Christ only cleanses you when you come in the light and have a fellowship with the light.
Amen.
What does it mean? If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, I have a light. What Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
And you are the light of the world. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have light. When you come together for fellowship, what we bring in? We bring in lights, and we have fellowship with light. And then if somebody comes from outside, maybe he's not a believer, comes and what he sees your fellowship with the light.
Yes.
And then he gets the message that he is in the dark, so he wants to change to light.
Yes.
That's the time the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses him. Otherwise, people can go to the bar, have a fun, get drunk, I want to see how many people get saved there. They will not get saved. Why? First of all, they do not have the sober mind.
Amen.
If you don't have a sober mind,
right,
you cannot hear the word of
That's
God.
Right.
And if you cannot hear the word of God, the life will not perform in you.
Amen.
So they have to come to light. Why we say come to church? Come to church, in another word, come to light. When you come to the light and we have fellowship with one another, then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. Go to the verse 8.
We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Now what he's trying to say, if somebody says, I don't have any problem, I'm not in dark, I'm living good life. What he's trying to say, if you say I don't have a sin, what's happening? You are deceiving yourself and truth is not in you. What is truth? Jesus Christ. He said, he shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. If you say, I don't have a sin, you are still bound.
Amen.
You are still in darkness. You have to have truth or the light in you. That means Jesus in you. And if you say, what he says, if you say, I don't have any problem, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person, I love my mom, I love my dad, I love my children, I love my friends, the dog does the same thing. Doesn't dog love his puppies?
Oh yeah.
Doesn't dog love his wife?
Oh yeah.
Yes. What is the difference? If you have Jesus, you will have light of God in you. And you will have love of God in you. If you have Jesus, you will have the light in you. Go to the verse 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Now, if you confess your sins. Now, if you go to some other denomination, you know what they will say? Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved forever. Then you don't have to confess your sins. Once you're saved forever, you can do anything. You can go to heaven. That is not in my Bible. Here it says you have to confess your sins.
Amen.
Christian people could not practice sin.
Amen.
If you practice sin, you are a sinner.
Amen. Right.
But Jesus Christ came, died for me, and he redeemed me from sinful life. Now I am not a sinner. Who I am? I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I'm the light of God.
Amen.
I'm a life of God. And I am living in truth. And there is no darkness in me.
Right.
Sin brings darkness and death to you.
Amen.
Okay, let's read the last verse.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Now, if you say, I don't have a sin, then who is a liar? He said, you make him a liar. To whom? To God. Because the word of God says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, what it says? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If all have sinned, and if somebody says, I did not commit sin, he is a liar, right? And then he is a liar and he's trying to make somebody liar. The word of God says the devil is a liar and a father of all lies. And all liars will go where? To hell fire. It says, okay, let's read Revelation chapter 21. And verse 8. Please read.
But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
And that, with that sinful activities, is added one thing, a liar. So all the liars will go to hell. So what the word of God is saying, we cannot make God a liar, we are liars. We live in lie, we'll go to hell. how can we live without not committing sin? What David says, Psalm 119 and verse 11, what he says, I have hidden his word in my heart, so I should not commit sin against God. Shall we rise? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we come here to fellowship with one another. And we have our fellowship with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the people who do not understand the Trinity. Let them know that Jesus Christ came here to reveal the Trinity, reveal the Father, reveal the Holy Spirit. Be with us, O Lord, and sanctify us. And let us have that life of Jesus Christ in us. And wherever we go, let that light shine for the glory of God. And let us reach out and tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the one who gives life and joy. Without Jesus, there is no eternal life and there is no fullness of joy. Give us grace to stay in Jesus Christ. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated.